Welcome to It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. I'm Sean Marie. How's everybody doing? And it is now officially 2022. And that to me is fucking insane. So I know I've been absent for quite some time since the beginning of December. And just going through a shitty, rocky spot in life. And when I do these things and I get on this, oh, woe is me and pity me kick, I like to get, I don't know what the right, I guess motivation from other people that have been through similar situations, and just, I like to just know other people's stories. When I was younger, there's a book called A Child Called It, right? And so I literally thought that my horrible situation that I was in, my shitty little childhood, was so horrible. And then I read this book. It's an amazing book. And it just showed me your life isn't so shitty. And so ever since then, that's just what I do. When I feel like my life is the shittiest life out there, I reach out to people to hear their shitty stories and to hear how they came past it, got through it, whatever, and became a stronger, more independent, better, whatever person. And so I've been struggling with wanting to keep the podcast going and all that jazz. And it's not that, like, I don't love my podcast, because obviously I love the shit out of it. I've dedicated many, 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 many hours, long time, and I've worked very, very hard to build my podcast to the little itty bitty baby standpoint that it is. But when your words and your thoughts and everything else are used against you, it makes it very hard to go and be open and honest and use it for what I've always used it for. And I've always used my podcast as a release and also as an inform people and to help people and all that jazz. So anyway, long story short, 3 minutes of just me babbling. So I reached out on Facebook, and a couple of, they're not even fans, they're friends, suggested making it a little more personal. And so I went on to a girl group on Facebook that I'm a part of and asked for stories of abusive relationships that people have gotten out of and grown from and all that. And I've had so many amazing people reach out to me that it's unbelievable, and I can't even grasp how many amazing women and everything else there are in the world. It just is so incredibly amazing. And so this first person who reached out to me, she was the very first person to say she wanted her story told. And so her name is Amanda. She's from, I'm assuming, locally here in Idaho Falls. I'm not 100% sure. And the first couple of girls I'm going to do are from my hometown. If you want your story told, or someone else's that you know of, or anything else like that, just reach out to me on any platform. I'll go through it at the end on how you can get your story told too. So anyway, her name is Amanda, and I'm going to kind of just tell you her story. So she sent me her original Facebook post that she posted on September 30th of 2019. And then I asked her a couple of questions and we went back and forth for a minute. So I'm just going to give you her story as much as she told me. So it says, "This is the most difficult post I've ever had to make. I am feeling so many different emotions right now. I'm not sure where to start. I'm hurt, I'm traumatized, betrayed, angry, devastated, embarrassed, and ashamed. Some people that are close to me know my struggle for the past year and 8 months. I have been trapped in an abusive relationship, physically, verbally, and emotionally. I was lied to, I was manipulated, controlled, stolen from, cheated on, isolated from my friends and my family. I was gaslighted into believing I was the problem. There was something wrong with me. I let him send me into financial ruin, destroy my credit. God, I loved him. I loved him so much that I made excuses for him. I ignored the red flags, let the abuse continue. I was always forgiving him and overlooking his flaws. I tried so hard to be what he wanted. The harder I tried, the worse things got. Until I looked in the mirror one day, looked in the mirror and didn't recognize myself anymore. I knew that I needed to be done, not just for myself, but then for my daughter. I knew that he had a way to contact me, then he would suck me back in like he had done numerous times before. I had done nothing but block all of his numbers and times before. I blocked his phone number. I began staying in different places so that he couldn't find me. I was afraid all of the time. I hated the new apartment he made me move into. I had a sick feeling about it, and it was scared to be there. Even when he was gone on a 4-week oil field, working for the oil fields, I had my daughter stay with my mom until I figured out what my next steps were. Today, I rented a U-Haul truck to move my things where he would never be able to find me. I called the police to escort me into the apartment because I was afraid he might be there and try to hurt me. He got his ultimate revenge on me. I found him dead on the living room floor from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. I thank God for keeping me safe. If I would have gone back to that apartment alone, he probably would have taken me out with him. This is very hard for me. This is a very private... I am a very private person, and I am still trying to process everything. I didn't ask for this. I never wanted any of this to happen. I can't imagine how his family must be feeling right now, and I am sorry for everything. I have a new phone number. I have a new phone and a new phone number. Okay, so anyway, she pretty much just tells everybody if you want to be able to reach out to her, find her that way. And so I was like taken back. And so when it turns like an abuse, a physically abusive relationship, for one, I've never judged a girl for being in that situation. I've been there myself, spent many, many years there. And so I just asked her, like, how soon into everything did it, like, how does it start? In her situation, how did all of that begin? Because no guy you get with just hits you on the first date and treats you like shit day one and you stay. That's not how it works. You get the charm and the pleasure and then they change. And so she says things started about 3 months in. He started being really critical of me and condescending. It was definitely like the frog in the pot of boiling water. It started with my phone wasn't good enough, so he bought me a new one. He had control over all of her accounts and passwords. He talked her into getting a security system to keep her safe when he was working out of town. But in all reality, all he wanted to do was be able to keep track of her 24/7 because he would be sent alerts when she left. He talked her into getting a joint bank account. When he would deposit his check into the account, she was responsible for paying all the bills. And he would spend all of her money too, along with his. And she says he didn't put his hands on me till about a year in. But once he had, he was too comfortable with it. He never hit me in the face. I always had broken ribs, was choked unconscious from behind. He was 6'3", 240 pounds. I never stood a chance. He was a total narcissist. I didn't realize how bad it was until after he died. I picked up his phone and his tablet from the police station after the investigation and found a treasure trove of secrets. He was picking up $250 hookers with the money in Montana. He was taking his ex and spending money on her. He had told her that he was in the military for 4 to 6 years, but that was a lie. He was truly in prison. He would come home from the oil fields in the middle of the night and sexually assault her. She took a high dose of psychotic medication so that she was sedated most of the night, so she didn't know what was actually happening until she found a video of her assault on his phone. He was a master manipulator and a gaslighter. I thought I was going crazy. I thought I was paranoid. And at the very end, I knew we both weren't going to make it out of this relationship alive. I was either going to kill myself to escape him, shoot him in self-defense, or he was going to kill me. It turned out for the best because I didn't have to look over my shoulder or carry my gun in my purse anymore. And so I asked her what it was like after he died. Because normally, well, okay, in the situations I know of, the dude never dies. Like, it's scary for quite some time afterward. And she said it was a roller coaster of guilt. She was sad and she missed him. She hated him sometimes. She has severe PTSD and nightmares. She says, nutso. I would see him and talk to him out loud. It's been 2 years this past September and I still think about him every day. He haunts me. I only dream of him every couple of months, but his energy still hangs around like a bad smell in the air. And so, after thinking on that, because we've had a couple conversations, like, in different days or whatever, and I just, when it's, people don't understand. They really, they try to chop abuse into someone is hitting you. Physically damaging you. But really, abuse is every, like, any little thing, really. I personally have lived through severe physical abuse, severe mental abuse. And to be honest, if it came down to having to pick one or two, and when you're in that situation of, like, being controlled by the only person you've known for so long, it's a different type of fucked up your head gets into. And I hate when people, and I hope she didn't feel this way, because when I asked her, I said, oh, well, a year doesn't sound very long. Like, when did this all start or whatever? And I hate when people say that. Like, oh, you've only been with him for a couple of months. Just go. It's not that easy. It's not that easy when you get to that point of fear of you don't know. You don't know what's going to turn your situation 10 times worse. What's going to make your situation easier. You just never know in those situations. And unfortunately, I don't know who this guy was, but he did, like she said, take his own life. And so she was saved in a big way. Because honestly, you know, I think a lot of women know, especially in abusive relationships, that there is no out. Like, it's going to be me or him. At the end of this, only one of us will stand. And she knew that. And so it speaks to the power in her, because having to call law enforcement or something like that and getting other people involved in your situation, it can either go the way you hope it will go, or it can backfire 110% on you and shit will hit the fan. And I can't imagine walking in and finding him dead, but I can't imagine the relief. Not like, oh, yay, he's dead. That's not the relief I'm talking about. Just the relief of not being terrified. Like, and if anybody's ever been in this situation, they know what I'm talking about. Of just, you never know what will set off your situation. Like, you never do. It could be as simple as following a Facebook page, or, you know, as simple as the littlest thing. You think it's little to you and you think this will not be a big deal, and it turns into a catastrophic fucking situation. And it's just, women who have lived through both, and all three really, because she was sexually assaulted verbally, physically. I mean, she got the trifecta of just shit on. But she came out stronger and she came out better. And even though it was incredibly traumatic and horrible for her, she still came out a stronger person. And that is really what I wanted to know. Like, I wanted to know her story, but I wanted to know what she became after that horrible situation and all that, just, you know? And so she says that now she's married with a four-month-old son and have her 15-year-old daughter from a previous relationship. I can't even imagine going through all of this with older children. I can't even imagine. She is a registered nurse at the community hospital here locally for the past 2 years, and she absolutely loves it. Her husband is been renovating properties, and so they're going to be ready to move and into a new property, and all these, like, her life is just better. She's with someone who loves her. They share a baby. She has this, I'm going to just assume, I don't know this woman personally, but an amazing 15-year-old. And, like, when your children, and especially your daughters, and I can't speak for women with sons who are in an abusive relationship, it must be a different type of fear. Because I don't know that fear, and I can't speak to it, but I know the fear of thinking one day what's ever happened to me could happen to my kid. And I just, it's, kids make everything so much better, and at the same time, it's like, fuck, you gotta take care of this person, you have to show this person what a good life is. And it's, oh man, you know, it's just, life and relationships are just the most fascinating things to me at the moment in life, you know? But on a positive note, like, this woman literally went through hell and then just got to work hard. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't just a very easy thing for her. She worked hard to get where she was from being where she was at. And it's just very, very encouraging, you know? And believe me, the other stories I'm going to tell you guys throughout this month is shocking. And people think, and it's weird because people think that just because we live in a little town and like, oh, Idaho, nothing ever happens to anybody in Idaho. I don't know why anybody thinks that. But a lot of my fellow local people will be amazed at just the darkness that happens behind closed doors and the brightness that comes out on the other side. And one of the things I've always said is, in life, people will either sink or you will swim. And some people were never taught to backstroke. Some people were never taught to breathe, and so they sink. And then you have people like Amanda, myself, and a bunch of other women I'm going to tell you about that are fucking marathon swimmers. And it's just fucking, you know, it's just life. You can either let it get you down, or you can change it and you can build it. So, yeah. I'm going to make 2022 my bitch, you know? I'm going to share these amazing stories with you guys, and hopefully they brighten you and encourage you to do amazing things like they have me. And yeah, I just wanted to share Amanda's story with you guys. I hope you guys love it. Happy New Year. If you want your story told, you can reach out to me on my Facebook, just Shawn Marie Johnson, if you guys look it up. Or you can send your emails, send in an email to it is what it is, pod19, I think, at gmail.com. And then I will tell your story. And I'm sorry if I got a little emotional, but hashtag my fucking life right now. So it is what it is. So just fucking deal with it and bear with me and we'll rock it all together. But I love you all. I hope you guys had an amazing new year and I'll see, well, I won't see you, but I'll talk to all you lovely people next week. So like I said, love you. Happy New Year and peace out.